are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. And today we're going to talk a little bit of preseason basketball. Wolves Suns was Tuesday night. The Wolves lost to Phoenix that in the preseason opener down in the desert there in Arizona. So we'll talk a little bit about that and what some of the takeaways from that game are. And we're going to discuss Thursday night's Wolves Warriors tilt taking place at the new Chase Center in San Francisco. So we're gonna go ahead and get right into it and discuss some really quick takeaways from Tuesday's game against Phoenix. Timberwolves are relatively healthy, knock on wood, and so everybody that will be in the normal rotation played except for Jordan Bell, who has a strained calf and will be out this week. We'll also miss the game against Golden State on Thursday. We talked about that in the first edition of the week here on Locked On Wolves. So the Timberwolves had a relatively healthy roster. The fifth starter in this game was Jake Lehman, one of the newest Wolves. And somebody we've talked about on this podcast is a player with the flexibility to play multiple positions, primarily the three, and will play some small ball four. But he did start in this game, in a game that obviously the guys who did play saw some abbreviated playing time. In terms of that split of playing time, the Wolves had, I think it was 13 players that appeared in this game. Which seems about right. And of those 13, everybody played at least 9 minutes in the game. I'm sorry, 16 Timberwolves saw the floor in this game. 16 Timberwolves saw the floor. They all played 9 or more minutes. And nobody played more than Josh Okogie and Jarrett Culver. Last year's first round pick, of course, Okogie. This year's first round pick, 6th overall, and Culver. Each played 25 minutes in this game, and nobody played more than that. So that breakdown seems about right. It's probably what we should have expected coming in. The only Timberwolves to not see the floor that were suited up would be Lindell Wigginton and Jordan Murphy, who are both on training camp contracts, essentially, as we've talked about before on this podcast. And then also not seeing the floor was Keelan Martin, two-way player. Jordan McLaughlin did see the floor. He's the other two-way player in addition to Martin. So of the 16 Wolves that saw the floor, the guys that led the way in minutes, Culver and Okogie, and again, I should mention that this game was not televised. It ended up, apparently the stream was available in some places. It was not officially televised in the Twin Cities. I did not get the chance to see it. There was some good information on Twitter about what went down, and then obviously the box score, we can get a pretty good sense for what went down, at least in terms of the box score. So Karl Anthony Towns did have a really good game despite only playing 19 minutes. He scored 19 points on 13 shots. He was 7 of 13 from the floor and 3 of 8 from beyond the arc. So a good game from Towns in just 19 minutes. He also pitched in 10 rebounds and 5 assists in those 19 minutes, so extremely productive and definitely a win. He was playing opposite DeAndre Ayton, last year's first overall pick, and I guess the piece that the Suns are clearly building around. Ayton was extremely efficient, scored 18 points on 9 of 14 shooting. He played 21 minutes, also grabbed 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks. So both of the big men had extremely good preseason openers. Culver, the Timberwolves only had 4 players in double figures. Jarrett Culver had 11 points and again played a team-high 25 minutes along with Josh Okogie. And Tyrone Wallace and Gorgui Dieng each had 10 points in this game. Other players who saw the floor for significant minutes, we talked about Okogie and Culver, who did both come off the bench. And Okogie only attempted 4 shots from the field. He made all 6 of his free throws, which is encouraging. Didn't do much else. He had a couple steals, a couple of assists. Culver did have four turnovers. He had three rebounds, two steals, shot 5 of 8 from the floor, missed both of his three-point attempts. The Wolves as a team didn't shoot the three ball well. We'll get into that here in just a moment. Mentioned Tyrone Wallace. He is the... I said Tyrone Wallace. I meant to say Trevion Graham. Trevion Graham is the other Timberwolf that had 10 points in this game. And Graham, it was the second piece in addition to Shabazz Napier acquired from the Nets after their sign-in trade that sent D'Angelo Russell to the Warriors and Kevin Durant to Brooklyn. Wallace, who I mentioned a moment ago, played 11 minutes, and he was the player the combo guard the Wolves claimed off waivers from the Clippers in the offseason. The low minutes guy for the Timberwolves was Naz Reid, who you may recall was a standout in summer league and earned his way from a training camp deal to a two-way contract, and then actually signed a full a guaranteed 3-year deal with the Wolves following summer league out in Las Vegas. He played just 9 minutes, attempted 2 shots, missed them both, had 3 rebounds, was a plus 10 on the game for whatever that's worth, even though single game plus minus doesn't mean a whole lot. Jalen Nowell, this year's second round pick, who's about the last guy to sign, not counting the training camp deals. Nowell played only 11 minutes, but scored 9 points on 3 of 6 shooting, made all 3 of his free throws, and was a plus 9 for the night. Other starters, Jake Lehman played those 17 minutes, had 6 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, was 0 of 6 from beyond the arc, but 3 of 3 inside the arc. Jeff Teague and Robert Covington each played 12 minutes, each made 1 basket from the floor, and then Andrew Wiggins played only 11 minutes, but still somehow shot the ball 8 times, was 3 of 8 shooting the ball in those 11 minutes, missed both of his 3-point attempts, had 1 rebound, 1 assist, so not all that different from stat lines we would have seen from Wiggins over the course of a full game last season. So very encouraging to see Towns have such a great game, and good to see a lot of guys get into the game. Nobody had to play too much. Culver shot the ball well from the field, and I should mention also Shabazz Napier played 14 minutes, had 7 assists, 3 of 7 from the floor, and was 1 of 4 from beyond the arc. So pretty consistently evenly spread out production in this game. Timberwolves did lose, which doesn't matter because it's preseason, of course, but they lost 111 to 106. They were outscored by 11 points in the first quarter, you know, ultimately losing by 5. They weren't clearly playing any normal rotation guys down the stretch, so that part doesn't really matter. A quick look at the Suns. I mentioned Ayton had a really good game. Former Timberwolves Ricky Rubio and Dario Saric both had good games. Rubio had 11 points, 5 assists, and 3 rebounds in just 20 minutes. He was just 5 of 13 from the floor and 1 of 4 from beyond the arc, so a pretty typical Rubio stat line, albeit in just the 20 minutes. Saric also had a line that will look familiar to Wolves fans. He did grab 7 rebounds in 17 minutes, but shot just 1 of 5 from the floor, had 1 assist. So they both had decent games. Devin Booker had 15 points in just 21 minutes, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. Did turn the ball over 5 times. Not much else significant. They were led off the bench by Frank Kaminsky, who they signed in free agency this offseason. He was 6 of 9 from the floor, had 14 points and 4 rebounds. Generally speaking, we're going to be able to give a lot more insight into the game this season on Lockdown Wolves for games that we're actually able to watch via League Pass. The game on Thursday night against the Warriors, which we'll get into here in a moment, will be on NBA TV. So that's going to be the second main thing that we talk about today is what to expect from that game against Golden State. Before we get into that, I do want to mention that Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. That's $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. All right, I did want to mention a couple more things from Tuesday's game. Timberwolves.com has a nice write-up from the game by Kyle Ratke, the digital content manager for the Wolves. He had his basically what we learned from the first preseason game article. We talked about Karl-Anthony Towns in the game that he had We talked about Lehman getting the start. A couple of notes from him that I maybe otherwise wouldn't have gotten. Culver did play some point guard in this game, and if you look at the box score with Jeff Teague starting and, again, being a preseason game, playing only 12 minutes, and then Shabazz Napier, the de facto backup point guard, he only played 14 minutes. The two-way point guard and, I guess, third-string point guard Jordan McLaughlin played 12. Tyrone Wallace, combo guard, played 11. So there's a few minutes here and there that were actually played by Jarrett Culver at point guard, which is something we've talked about on this podcast that I think we'll see quite a bit of this year, but I don't know. I wasn't sure how much we'd see of it early. It does make sense. We mentioned the turnovers. Culver had 4 turnovers in 25 minutes. Not great, but a little bit more understandable if he was playing some point guard. This is from Ratke, quote, he was about as you'd expect for a rookie who isn't super familiar with the position. He made some solid plays, but also had 4 turnovers and no assists, end quote. Culver, as we've mentioned here, played a lot of point forward, ran the point actually quite a bit at Texas Tech as the Red Raiders went to the national championship game last year. And so it's not that Culver is all that unfamiliar with playing point guard. It's just he's not familiar with playing it at the NBA level and of running this offense. So it'll be interesting to see how much more of that we see in the near future as well as long term throughout over the course of the season. I would imagine he's not the true backup point guard. That's still going to be Napier, and Napier's a good player. But if there were to be any injury issues with Napier or Jeff Teague, if Culver shows some unexpected promise early, there's a possibility Teague could get moved by the deadline and then Culver becomes your maybe even starting point guard. It really seems to me that it'll be more he's a backup wing with the, depending on matchups and how he's playing, the ability to run the point more. And Napier's good off the ball too because he's a solid shooter and can certainly play that role. And same with Jeff Teague too, if Culver ends up just doing a great job initiating the offense. So that's something else to keep an eye on. Ratke also touches on shot selection. And as mentioned at length on this podcast and plenty of other places, the Wolves are focusing much more on shot values this year, going so far as to mark the actual, not just a diagram of the court, but the court itself in the practice facility with how many points can be expected for shot attempts from certain areas on the floor. So the Wolves shot the ball 93 times in this game against the Suns, and 39 of them came from the three-point line, but they made just 8. That's 20.5%. So, you know, it didn't work, but that's obviously not something that's going to happen over the course of the season. Ratke points out that Lehman, Napier, Culver, Wiggins, and Robert Covington combined to go 1-for-16, which is beyond unsightly. Karl Anthony Towns was 3-of-8. Trevion Graham was 2-of-4. They're the only Wolves to make more than 1-3. Katie Bates Diop, who I haven't mentioned, was 1-of-2. Napier is 1-of-4. And then a bunch of guys just missed all of their attempts from beyond the arc. We mentioned Lehman's 0-for-6. Jeff Teague was actually 1-for-1, which is nice considering he was beyond timid from three-point range last year. So that's something that the Wolves, it's certainly encouraging that the Wolves attempted so many threes, and they also got to the free throw line 23 times and made 20 of them. So if this is a team that shoots a lot of threes and a lot of free throws, which the best teams do exactly that, then they're going to have an okay season. They don't have that many guys that are knockdown three-point shooter. Towns, obviously, Covington's above average and will shoot tons of threes. But most of the rest of the guys in the rotation are extremely average three-point shooters. Napier's maybe a touch above that. But Graham 2 years ago was very good with Charlotte from beyond the arc, but struggled last year in Brooklyn. It'd be tough to expect Culver to do much more than league average. Wiggins is going to be league average. Jake Lehman was essentially the definition of that last year. Teague should be, but didn't shoot very many threes last year. Vonleh is a league average three-point shooter. They've got essentially everyone in the rotation is a capable long-range shooter, but other than Covington and Towns, there's nobody that's truly dangerous at a game-changing clip from beyond the arc, somebody that could turn the tide of the game quickly. They've got a number of streaky shooters, and they've got a number of guys that are just going to be okay from out there. So we'll see how much that impacts the team. My guess is that that's one of the things that will hold them back, is they're going to be beyond willing to shoot threes, but they may struggle with their actual efficiency from deep. So that'll be something to keep an eye on for sure. All right, next we're going to talk a little bit about the Golden State Warriors and Thursday night's game between the Warriors and the Wolves in preseason game number two. Preseason game number two is on Thursday. This game is on NBA TV, so Wolves go from being not televised on Tuesday to national TV Thursday. It's at 9:30 Central Time. Being that it's at Golden State, it's the second game that will be played at the new Chase Center, which is across the bay from the old arena that was in Oakland. So this arena is in San Francisco and is apparently amazing. So that's what we have to look forward to on Thursday night. As far as we know, the Timberwolves, outside of Jordan Bell and his strained calf, will be healthy. I would presume that they'll have the same starting lineup unless the Wolves choose to swap out Jake Lehman for somebody like Culver or Okogie to just get a different look in the starting lineup. But I would expect the minutes distribution to be about the same. As for the Warriors, obviously the team looks quite different this season. The cliff notes, if you haven't been paying attention, or I guess really just because it's crazy when you put it all in one spot. Players that they lost were Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala were the biggest ones to essentially sign in free agency in Durant's case, and Iguodala was traded. DeMarcus Cousins left in free agency. Sean Livingston ultimately retired. And then a few kind of fringe rotation guys like Quinn Cook, Damian Jones, Jordan Bell, who is on the Wolves. The Warriors did re-sign Klay Thompson and Kevon Looney, and then added D'Angelo Russell in the sign-and-trade from Brooklyn, and Willie Cauley-Stein are the biggest additions. They also added Alec Burks, Omari Spellman, and Glenn Robinson III, former Timberwolves second-round pick, and then Jordan Poole was their first-round pick. They have a couple of second-rounders that may actually see the floor for what's a less of a deep team than we're used to. Remember, Klay Thompson did tear his ACL in the playoffs and isn't expected, certainly won't play until partway through the season, but is expected to see the floor shortly after the turn of the calendar to 2020. Curry is healthy and is the lone superstar that will be seeing the floor from the start of the year. Obviously, Russell's an all-star and is bordering on superstar status, so the Wolves will get a first-hand look at him. In terms of players that will be expected to see the floor for the Warriors, Looney didn't play in their last preseason game, so unclear whether or not he'll play. Cauley-Stein will probably also still be sitting out, so don't expect to see those guys necessarily. We'll probably see a lot of the rookies, some of the younger guys, the second-rounder Eric Pascal, and then Jordan Poole, the first-rounder, who we already mentioned, will surely play in this game. The Warriors are probably a borderline playoff team. My guess is that they'll be a few games better than the Wolves this year, but probably a similar outcome to the Wolves in terms of number of wins. I don't know that they'll be significantly better. A lot of that hinges on how early Klay Thompson comes back and how good he comes back and how quickly he recovers. They're probably a mid-40s win team in my book, and whereas the Wolves are upper 30s, low 40s. So not all that much better. But if Curry stays healthy, this guy, you know, I mean, I suppose there's still a limit. They're not going to be the best team in the West, even with a healthy Curry. But they should be a shoo-in for a playoff spot if Curry stays healthy and Thompson comes back reasonably healthy partway through the season. It's still going to be a good team. Steve Kerr is still a good coach. And if they figure out how to play without Durant, which, you know, they won a championship without him once, be interesting to see how they readjust back to just Curry and Thompson and Draymond Green, of course. Haven't even mentioned him, but it's still going to be a very good team. Too bad Bell doesn't get to face them, although, of course, he'll get his shot in the regular season when it actually matters. Things that I would be watching for would be the offense. Since I didn't see the game Tuesday, I don't have a great handle on what that looked like, so we'll be watching the offense and exactly how the Wolves are getting those three-point shot opportunities. on Thursday night is what we'll keep an eye out for. And then also Towns specifically, how he's utilized within the offense and what sort of sets the Wolves are running with Culver when Culver is running the point, as well as is he on the floor with other point guards and simply just handling the ball and initiating the offense while somebody like Napier or perhaps Tyrone Wallace plays off the ball. So we'll be keeping an eye out for that as well. The wing rotation, again, not a whole lot that we can really read into it at this point, other than pairings and who's playing with who and who's not playing with other players. So we'll see if that appears to be pretty similar to Tuesday's game in Phoenix, and definitely discuss that following. So the plan will be to discuss this on the podcast for Friday. We'll talk through the results of the game. It is a late game Thursday, so it could be podcast will likely be live a little later in the day on Friday. But we will definitely talk through the game on Thursday, as it's the first live game that we're able to watch and have instant reaction to without relying on Twitter and box scores. So we'll definitely have that for you on Friday. That's all we have for you today. As mentioned, we'll be back with that game recap on Friday, and then we'll look ahead and preview the following week of preseason games. Thanks for listening to Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.